Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome back to another episode of Steeler Stat Geek. This is Behind the Steel Curtain editor Dave Schofield coming at you on Thursday morning. Wow, Thursdays are the day to be. I mean, this is the first day of training camp practice. We're talking about practice. All right. I'm really glad you're joining me here. I know. I'm sorry. It's not Let's Ride. It's Thursday. You're stuck with me instead, but that's all right. But today is the day that the Steelers are going to take the field, not in pads. They're going to be at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex on the south side, but they're going to actually be on the field doing their thing, doing some drills. I don't know exactly how much they'll be doing, but we never got a really firm start date for training camp. We had several things. We were told that today, Thursday, was going to be the start of camp by one reliable source from DK Pittsburgh Sports. And we were also know that on the Wednesday, the 28th, is the first day that fans will be in attendance at Heinz Field for the first padded practice. But then on Tuesday night, the Steelers set out something on Twitter that said, oh, players are coming tomorrow. So you kind of didn't know exactly what all those different dates meant. So they showed up on Wednesday. You know, they officially reported they're going to start with some practice stuff, non-padded practices today. Why can I not remember what the date is today? The 22nd on Thursday. And here we go. We're started. To me, this means the NFL offseason, at least for the Pittsburgh Steelers, is over. Offseason done. It is time to get on with this 2021 season. And what is even more fantastic is 2 weeks from today, we will get our first preseason game, the Hall of Fame game, August 5th in Canton, Ohio against the Dallas Cowboys. I don't really even care who the Steelers are playing. That doesn't matter in the preseason, really. The opponent is meaningless in the preseason, in my opinion, because it's all about seeing what your players are going to do and things of that nature. But we can't go on. I'm actually recording this much later on Wednesday than I normally do, because to come to you as early as possible Thursday morning. And that's because I've been kind of reeling with a lot of stuff because of the retirement of Vince Williams. Man, oh man, that kind of surprised me. And it was really interesting because when you saw the interesting tweet from former Steeler Terrence Garvin, whenever Melvin Ingram signed and someone listed out all the linebackers and, oh, this is crazy. And he's like, yeah, I know something's coming. And we're like, okay, what's coming? And it was the Vince Williams retirement. I can't say that thought didn't enter my mind when I first read that, not even retirement, that I'm like, uh-oh, somebody's hurt and isn't really going to be ready to go, or something's going on. One of these guys isn't going to be available. And I thought about the different stuff, and I even thought about Vince Williams, but I never really gave it any stock. You know, I never really thought that's what it was going to be, but that's it. Vince Williams is calling it a career. Crazy offseason, salary cap casualty before the start of the new league year, signed back in the middle of April at a league minimum deal. Now he's moving on to other things other than football. I at the time I'm recording this, there's not really anything out there where Vince is really saying, you know, I just didn't have the passion or anything like that. We're not getting any kind of story about it other than that he's retiring. But best of luck in whatever you go on to do, one Vidi Vidi Vici. You were a great Pittsburgh Steeler. You hard-nosed, all that good stuff. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're going to talk about some offensive line, which is crazy because everything that's happened since the last time I came to you on a Thursday morning, because, you know, the Melvin Ingram signing and things like that. It's kind of crazy. But we can say they did do some stuff with the offensive line. The Steelers added another offensive tackle. It's a journeyman tackle. Chaz Green, I do believe, is the name. So they have another Green. They added him to the roster. Nothing yet on his salary. I'm pretty sure it's going to be for like a minimum deal. You know, shouldn't affect anything with the salary cap. And then, of course, they got their third round draft pick, Kendrick Green, under contract. So that's some more recapping a little bit of the news before we get into this. But we're going to talk offensive line. But I kind of got to give a bit of a disclaimer with this, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down who started, how many games, how it worked out. That's what we're going to look at first. Then I'm going to turn around and look at, all right, week by week, what was the combination? How did the Steelers do? You know, how were things working? I don't want you to think that some of the stuff that I'm going to report, like I'm going to say the rushing yards. I mean, I didn't even go into attempts. I just gave the yards. I'm going to mention how many times the quarterback was sacked, meaning how many sacks they surrendered. But just because it's that combination, there are so many other factors that factor into this, that it's not just all on that. Because, I mean, think about it. Not every defense that the Steelers played was equal. In my opinion, the best defense they played all season was the Washington football team. And we'll see how that worked out whenever we get there. That defense really, really was something, especially that defensive front. So what I'm going to do is we're going to first look at the players that were considered the starters for the Steelers. So what has to happen in order for a player to be considered starting for a season? And all these numbers are coming, once again, courtesy of Pro Football Reference. That's my go-to. But what they do is whoever started the most games at that position for the year that was deemed the starter. And of course, starting the game just means you're on the field for the first snap. But when it comes to offensive line, almost all the time when these guys are playing, it's 100% of the snaps. I'll make some notes in there when it wasn't. So first and foremost, the one player that started every game for the Steelers on the offensive line, there was only one, was one Alejandro Villanueva, started all 16 games at left tackle. So therefore, of course, the Steelers went 12-4 when Big Al was in the starting lineup. Who started the next most was right tackle Chukwuma Okorafor, who started 15 games. Obviously, he didn't start week one. We'll get to that eventually. And so therefore, the Steelers were 11-4 when Chukes was in the starting lineup. Then the other three guys all tied. They all had 13 starts on the year. Matt Filer at left guard had 13 starts. He went 11-2. Marquise Pouncey at center, 13 starts. The Steelers went 11-2 when he was in the starting lineup. And right guard David DeCastro, 13 starts. Steelers went 9-4 when DeCastro was in the starting lineup. But I'm not saying that's all on him, but DeCastro was not the same player at the end of the year that he was at the beginning of the year. There was just that you could tell there was something not right with him. And Steelers Nation was hoping, you know, get right in the offseason and come back ready for 2021. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. He wasn't able to get right in the offseason. So, therefore, he's no longer a part of the Pittsburgh Steelers at this time. So, let's look at the other guys. Other guys that got starts on the offensive line. First of all, you got Zach Banner, and I'll go ahead and throw in Stefan Wisniewski. Both of those guys started one game in week one. The Steelers won the game. All right? They got injured on back-to-back plays. So, but Banner was lost for the season. Wisniewski was lost for a while. But even when they brought him back, they ended up releasing him just because things weren't really fitting that well if you watched that week one game. The other players that started was Kevin Dotson had four starts on the season. The Steelers went 3-1 when Dotson was in the starting lineup. And then the one other player that started was J.C. Hassenauer, had four starts on the season. And the Steelers went 1-3 when he was in the starting lineup. So if you kind of look at those records, you don't want to pick on one player, but we will just say there was only one player out of everyone who the Steelers did not have a winning record when they were in the starting lineup. So was that important? Was that not? Did that lead to it? That's what we'll do by breaking things down week by week. I'm actually going to go ahead and do our break really early because it's going to take some time to go through these week by week, and I don't want to stop in the middle. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to get our quick commercial break, listen to some Jerry Cherry Band, and we'll be right back to break this down, see who the starting lineup was every week in 2020 and kind of how things worked out. So we'll be right back. When the phone no surprise. Pittsburgh Steelers fans, we are back talking offensive line here on Steelers Stat Geek. Man, this is my wheelhouse, talking stats and talking offensive line, which is funny because offensive line is probably the one position on the field that gives you the least amount of stats of anyone on the football field. But I'm Dave Schofield, editor behind the steelcurtain.com, your one-stop shop for all things Pittsburgh Steelers. And you all should probably know by listening to me for a while now that I'm a stats guy. I like numbers. I crunch numbers. It's kind of what I do. I like number puzzles. I like anything dealing with digits that kind of fits together. That's right in my wheelhouse. Also, I played offensive line when I played football. I coached offensive line when I coached football. So offensive line is kind of what I do there. So let's go ahead and we already looked at the record that the Steelers had when each player was in the starting lineup on the offensive line. Now let's look week by week. Who were the starters? Who played? And how did the Steelers do? So week one, the starters were, and all these, when I list them, they're going to go left to right, left tackle across to right tackle. So that way I don't have to keep saying the position over and over again and bore you down with me stumbling over words. But it was, I shouldn't even say left. I'm going to always start with Villanueva because he was he started every game. But we got Big Al, Filer, Pouncey, Wisniewski, and Zach Banner. Those were your starters. Now, the first three guys played 100% of the snaps. Wisniewski and Banner did not because they both got injured. What ended up happening was Dotson had to come in for six snaps. And then Chooks had to come in for five snaps. He actually had nine for the game because he had four snaps as the jumbo tight end. But that's how many snaps those guys missed. So they were the majority of the game. So the way, as we should hopefully remember, the Steelers won that game 26-16. And the Steelers rushed for 141 yards. And they surrendered two sacks, which was, they never surrendered more than two sacks in a game all season. But that was one of them where they did. So that was the offensive line trying to get to know what was going on there. You could say, oh, maybe they were more primed for run blocking than everything else. But you also have to remember, this was a time of the season. There was no preseason games. There was nothing on film from what the Steelers did with some of the Matt Canada motions they involved in the running game. And once teams got film on it and could break it down, it kind of changed everything. But that was the pure numbers behind week one. Then you go to week two. And in week two, it was Big Al, Filer, Pouncey, Dotson, and Chooks. So now Chooks is going to be in there for every game the rest of the season. But Kevin Dotson got the start there. The Steelers won that game at home against Denver 26-21. They had 109 rushing yards. They only surrendered one sack. So he kind of came in there and you know, Dotson was filling in for Wisniewski, who was filling in for DeCastro, who missed the first two games. And it was just, you know, it was what it was. He came in, Steelers offensive line didn't really seem to lose a beat in his very first start. We'll see how that happens as stuff goes on. Then in week three, I don't even want to talk about week four because technically that was the Steelers' bye, if you can call it that, but they didn't play a game. But in week three and week five, it was the same lineup. It was the season starters. It was Big Al, Filer, Pouncey, DeCastro, and Chooks. That's what it was week three against the Texans, where they rushed for 169 yards, the most in the season. Of the season, but they did surrender two sacks and they won the game 28-21. So far, kind of think of this: 26 points, 26 points, 28 points. All right. But in week five, after the quote unquote bye week, the Steelers come out playing the Philadelphia Eagles and they put up 38 points. Same starting lineup, 136 rushing yards, only surrendered one sack, 38-29 victory. It kind of seemed like, okay, well, the offense seems to be comfortable. Because sometimes it's not even about the snaps as much as it is comfort. Comfort of the guys working together in the line. Comfort and confidence of the quarterback in the line that he's going to have time to throw and not get killed back there. We'll see that might be a problem later on. But then for week six, there was another change in the offensive line. Okay? This is where you had in week six. That was a fantastic one of my favorite games of the season because, I mean, 38-7 over the mistake by the lake. That was just fantastic. But it was Big Al, Filer, Pouncey, Dotson, and Chooks. That was your starters in that blowout against the Browns. So that's just kind of interesting to see what happened there. Now, they did not, you know, they did pretty well with that. Before I do that, not every player played all the snaps, okay? Because it was such a blowout, Hassenauer came in, played 11 snaps at center. Gerald Hawkins, he played 3 snaps at the end, but he also had another 7 snaps at the jumbo tight end. And Derwin Gray even had 3 snaps at the end of the game. So that was kind of nice. It was one of those times those guys did not play 100% of the snaps. The only ones that did in that game were Dotson and Big Al. And they rushed for 129 yards. They did surrender 2 sacks, but they were also part of a team that put up 38 points. Granted, some of that was the defense, if we remember that correctly. But that was an offensive line out there getting the job done. Then we go to the next week. Then the infamous Week 7 against the Tennessee Titans, where the Steelers, they won 27-24. So if you look at it so far, everything's 26 points and above that the Steelers have scored. They've won every game. They were back to their usual starting lineup in Big Al, Filer, Pouncey, DeCastro, Chooks. Chooks missed a snap in that game. Is that the game he tweaked something and had to come out for 1 snap? And you're like, oh no, down to the third right tackle. Nope. And then he was back. They had 94 rushing yards in that game, but they surrendered 0 sacks. That was the first game of the season that the Steelers did not go over 100 yards rushing. And it's so funny that we talk about going over 100 yards rushing because we know what's coming. We know how bad these run totals get as you go on. But that was the starting lineup there. And that same starting lineup was used for the next, I'm trying to count them up. If we count that one, it was 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. All of them had the same starting lineup. So that was 5 straight games of the same guys when it came to Tennessee, because DeCastro was back and there they were going. So week 8, this is where you saw the big fall off, especially when it came to rushing the ball. Now it was going up against the Ravens, and the Ravens didn't rush the ball. I mean, I throw up in my mouth every time I say that. Well, I say they didn't rush the ball. No, they did rush the ball. They rushed for like 265 yards. But the Steelers, they only rushed for 48 yards. And they surrendered 2 sacks, but they did enough to win that game 28-24 in Baltimore. Then in week 9, the Steelers were facing the Dallas Cowboys. Now, they struggled with this game early, but they were able to come back. This was their lowest point total of the season to date of 24. Okay. But they only had 46 rushes, but they didn't give up any sacks. No sacks surrendered. So yeah, 46 rushing yards, that's starting to 48, 46, then it's dropping little by little, because then the next week, week 11, now this was a nice decisive victory, it dropped even more, same starting lineup, Pouncey missed 4 snaps at the end of the game because it was out of hand, the 36-10 win over the Bungles, where they rushed for 44 rushing yards, gave up no sacks. So what you're seeing is over the course of those 5 games. Oh wait, we've still got one more to do. Sorry, I almost jumped the gun thinking that was the same stretch of 5 games for those 5 starters, but there's not. There was one more where the Steelers beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 27-3. Everyone played the whole game except for Pouncey and DeCastro. They each missed 6 snaps. They were rested at the end of the game. They rushed for 106 yards, gave up 0 sacks. So you're talking about that 5-game stretch. In that 5-game stretch where the Steelers were not running the ball overly well, I mean, they had a 106-yard rushing in there and 94 at the beginning. So that was then the 340-yard rushing attempt sandwiched in between there. So that wasn't so much, but they only surrendered 2 sacks in 5 games, 2 total sacks in those 5 games. So that was pretty interesting that you kind of saw some things that, were happening. And a lot of this had to also do with defenses figuring out the Steelers' offensive scheme. I think the lack of creativity of the Steelers' offense really affected what the offensive line could do and really brought out their weaknesses more than anything. But then week 12, to me, that was the turning point of the season. Week 12, it was the Steelers' 11th game. They won the game. But this is where everything didn't seem right. This was, to me, from this point on, there's, with one exception in there, and we'll talk about that exception, this is where things just didn't seem to go right. But so it was week 12 against Baltimore in Pittsburgh after the game was delayed almost a week. I think it was it 5 days or 6 days it ended up being delayed. I don't know. It was supposed to be Thanksgiving night. It ends up being played on a Tuesday afternoon or when I can't even remember. It was so brutal. It started at 3:05. It was Wednesday. What am I saying? It wasn't Tuesday. It was Wednesday. Started at 3:40 in the afternoon. Crazy. The Steelers only scored 19 points, but they won the game. But their starting lineup was Villanueva, Filer, J.C. Hassenauer, David DeCastro, and Chooks. Okay, the Steelers only rushed for 68 yards. They didn't surrender any sacks, but they rushed for only 68 yards, and it seemed like something wasn't quite right there. You know, they were playing a depleted squad, and that was kind of the point where you're like, yeah, I don't know. And then it kind of all came crashing down the next week because the same starting lineup started the next week, which was with J.C. Hassenauer at center. And the Steelers, they lost to the Washington football team 17-23, and that was after being up 14-3 at halftime. So you're like, okay, what happened? Well, how about 21 rushing yards? 21 rushing yards. They didn't give up any sacks again, but they only had 21 rushing yards on 14 attempts. Okay, not a lot of attempts, but for 21 yards. And it just seemed like that's when the offense couldn't really get going. It seemed like Ben Roethlisberger was throwing the ball almost too quickly. And if you look at some of the film, something that Jeffrey Benedict brought up, it almost seems like there wasn't really much trust in one J.C. Hassenauer. So then you go on to week 14 when the starting lineup goes back to the normal starting lineup. Big Al, Filer, Pouncey, DeCastro, and Chooks. They more than doubled their rushing output of 47 yards, but they did surrender a sack. This was 15-26. That was the final score against the Bills. And you got to remember, the Steelers were up 7-3 until the pick six right before the half. I mean, with less than a minute left in the first half, Buffalo gets a pick six. I mean, the Steelers had shut them down the entire first half. And it was just two drives in the second half. And that was it. It was the pick six, and they gave up two drives in the second half where basically all Buffalo did was move Stephon Diggs to the other side of the field, used him for two drives. Then the Steelers figured it out, and it was done. It was crazy just how very little part of that game is what lost the Steelers that game. But that was the output there. Then you move on to week 15. The Steelers, once again, can't hit 20 points. They hadn't hit 20 points since everything kind of started to turn in that week 12 game against the Ravens. They fell 17-27 to the Bengals. You can't really call them that when they win, but the starting lineup for that one in week 15 was Big Al, J.C. Hassenauer at guard, Marquise Pouncey at center, DeCastro and Chooks. Now, Hassenauer played 75% of the snaps at guard. Derwin Gray played the other 25. They kind of rotated him in some. But things were not working there. They did rush for 86 yards. They surrendered a sack. But the biggest thing is the points. 17 points. None in the first half. If you recall, the Steelers were shut out at halftime. Then they come back, make it a game in the third quarter. They're down by a touchdown. And then it was just that one drive that got away from them. So There was that game. I don't like talking about some of these games, having to relive them. But then we got to go on to something that I think is very interesting. And that is week 16. Week 16, the starting lineup changed again. It was Villanueva, Dotson, Pouncey, DeCastro, and Chooks. That is the only game this starting lineup started for the Steelers in 2020, because it was Dotson at left guard and DeCastro at right guard. And this was a 28-24 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. The Steelers only rushed for 22 yards. I mean, the rushing was terrible. They only surrendered one sack, but the Steelers, they went to the air game in this game. That's what they had to do. I mean, they rushed the ball 14 times, but I mean, 34-49, 341 yards, three touchdowns. If we can remember this, I mean, the Steelers were down 21-7 at half and they came out. And what really did it more than anything was the Steelers didn't attempt a deep pass, a pass more than 15 yards where the receiver was more than 50 yards past the line of scrimmage until there was less than 2 minutes left in the first half. Everything was short. Then they had that 2 minute drill at the end. I mean, they ran out of time, but they were taking deeper shots and completing deeper shots. And what do you know? The Steelers came out and all of a sudden Ben Roethlisberger has time to throw the football and push the ball down the field. And they started doing it. And part of the field breakdown I keep referring to from Jeffrey Benedict, which if you're listening, man, just wait, because Jeffrey is coming out with his own podcast in the audio form. That's going to be him breaking down film. Now you're like, how do you do that in audio? You have to paint a picture with words. It's like listening to a game on the radio. If you know what you're doing, you can do it. And I feel Jeffrey is a guy, I can't wait to listen to that one, because it just, you know, breaking down little things. But one of the things you saw there was that Ben didn't feel like he was going to get crushed right up the middle. Come with Dotson and DeCastro. I mean, DeCastro was not doing very good run blocking late in the season, but his pass blocking wasn't as affected as much, in my opinion. So therefore, I mean, someone could argue that fact and they could maybe show some stuff and, you know, I could see it. It was kind of on a play-by-play basis. But when Roethlisberger had time to throw, he did. And what do you know, for the first time in 5 weeks, the Steelers go over 20 points. They score 28 points. They win the game. They wrap up the AFC North. And that was kind of put a bow on it. And some people were like, oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Look, they're back. I wasn't ready to see the Steelers were back after one half of football. But that was just me. I want to see a little bit more. But believe it or not, in week 17, what we saw was not bad. When even with people resting and you had the starting lineup of Big Al, Dotson, J.C. Hassenauer, DeCastro, and Chooks. This one, the Steelers, they lost in Cleveland 22-24. They're a failed two-point conversion away from this game getting really interesting. They had 85 rushing yards. They gave up one sack. But even without Roethlisberger, Pouncey, Watt, Hayward, without all those guys, they still went in there and gave a much better game in Cleveland with this lineup than what they did the next week, which was back to their typical starting lineup. So I will tell you this. Kevin Dotson, when he was in the lineup, you were looking at the Steelers always going over 20 points. You know, and the only game the Steelers lost with Dotson in the lineup was week 17. So that's one thing to take from it. You're like, oh, yeah, 3-1. That was week 17. That was without Ben Roethlisberger. And a lot of people still feel that, you know, if the Steelers wouldn't have rested everybody, they might have been facing a different opponent in the playoffs. But hindsight, we know what it is. So that's something to think about with Dotson coming back. It's really hard to judge a lot of stuff here with, like, you know, Big Al or Chooks, because they basically played the whole time. So this was more looking at, I don't like to pick on the guy, but the Steelers definitely had problems, and Ben Roethlisberger felt like he had to throw the ball much faster when J.C. Hassenauer was in the lineup. So this offensive line for 2021 is going to really be the key. It's what it's really going to come down to on this offense, because My last prediction for the Steelers 30 predictions or 30 scenarios in 30 days that myself and Jeff Hartman did for the website. The last one I did was if Ben Roethlisberger has time, he's going to push the ball deep down the field. If the offensive line can give Ben time, he's going to throw it. So my point is this. When Ben Roethlisberger didn't play in 2019, we saw the throw everything short offense that the former offensive coordinator wanted to run without Ben. Then Ben's back, and you've got a coordinator that just wants to dump everything short. Then you have an offensive line that late in the season was not protecting well enough to give him time to throw. Of course he's going to throw it short. And now everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon of Ben Roethlisberger. He can't throw the ball deep. Okay, you can say if you want to say he doesn't throw it, he can't throw it well or doesn't do it well, I'll take that argument. To say he can't do it, it's not factual. I mean, all you have to do is look at the second half of that Indy game and watch him throwing the ball down the field because he had time. So it's not that he can't, and I'm not saying he did a fantastic job of it, but also – when you're not having the most confidence in your line, we can see that. And then with no running game and everything to support it. So, there's a lot to take in with this. But I wanted to break it down so you had an idea of where things kind of started to fall apart with the Steelers and how things were working with the offensive line. And whether or not it was exactly what the problem was or not, I think it was a big combination of things. So I don't want to just lay it on one thing, but if you wanted to look at this to see what part it played, there it was. So I always got to say this. I've got a question I got to answer for next week. I just wasn't able to get all the answer to it in time for this week's show that I really am looking forward to answering next week. But I'm always looking for questions at STLR Superfan Dad on Twitter or STLR Superfan Dad at gmail.com. On the email side of things, you can send me an email or shoot me a message on Twitter anytime asking a stats question that I could use on the show. Sometimes people just ask me a question just to ask it to get it answered right then. And I like to do that as much as I can. So make sure you're checking out all the audio podcasts. If you can hit the live shows, that's fantastic as well, that are on YouTube and Facebook every day. Additionally, make sure you're checking out behindthesteelcurtain.com. Training camp's kicking off. I mean, things are really ramping up. Lots going on. I'm so excited for this season. Just want to get it started. But we're going to get data. We're going to get data in 2 weeks. We're going to get data to work on that's this year's data, not this stuff that I have to talk about from last year. And that's what really excites me and what I can't wait for is getting this year's data. But once again, thanks for joining me. And as I always say, thanks for joining me.